Good morning, Eddie Kaufholz. Happy Wednesday. Is it? Yes. Yes?
Is it 2020? Is it March? Is it April? No, time is a construct. It doesn't matter.
Is there a day that feels different to you than every other day?
It does a little bit. It's mostly Monday through Friday.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Monday through Friday could all be in one bowl, and I could if you put all those names in one bowl, and you said draw one, and that's today, and I could be like Thursday. Yeah, sure it is.
They're all the same. The meetings are the same. The rhythms are the same. The kids walk in at the same time for the homeschool. Yep. I mean, it's all. Which isn't necessarily bad, but they do kind of play.
Do you know, I'm actually choosing not to watch sermons or intake sermons during the week because I have to have a separation for Sundays.
Oh, yeah. So Sunday gets to be its own thing.
Yeah. So that I can watch church on Sunday and like have that experience. I've just decided it's not right for everybody, but I've decided for me that pure sermons – don't need to happen the rest of the week right now because I need that. I need some things that feel sacred for Sunday. And the only way something feels sacred for Sunday is if you give it up every other day.
Oh, and that's a quarantine change?
Yeah. Yeah. Because normally, like when I'm out hiking at Radnor or walking around or in my car, I'll listen to someone else besides Crosspoint teach.
Yeah.
But on a normal Crosspoint Sunday, we have a 9, 11, a 1 o'clock, and a 5:30. So I'm at church from 7 to 7. I don't have time to listen to any other teaching, you know?
You really are there all day. What do you do there?
Everyone
do you do all day?
Everyone
when
is.
You're not speaking, what are you doing all day?
What do I do? You know, I'm kind of a support person for the staff. So I've kind of got my ear to the ground checking on everybody who's working from 7 to 7.
Yeah.
And people can go home between that like 2:30 to 4:30 window. But a lot of times I'll just go hole up somewhere and work on because it's a working day for me. So I'll just go work on books or answer emails or, you know, it's one of the reasons I Sabbath on Wednesdays and is so that I Sunday is a work day. So
boy, I still feel that on some Sundays from that, the old rhythm. And I mean, it's been years. I haven't been a pastor since 2014, but I felt that another pastor friend texted me on the day before Easter, and he said, "You're getting kind of keyed up right now." I said, "I'm feeling it." I'm like,
"Yeah, the old, you can do this."
Yeah, we got this. Five sermons. Make sure you got it. You know, or Christmas Eve. I still am like, what am I doing? Just hanging out with my family. I got a place to be. We got a new service
before that first service. The teaching team all prays together, and then after the first service, we kind of reflect on the sermon and make it better. Or you know, usually we just say to whoever's teaching, like, "Home run, you killed it. That was amazing."
Yeah.
And we're still kind of we don't do that because the service runs every hour on the hour, but we still FaceTime pray at 8:30, and it just feels nice to have a couple of rhythms in place like that that feel a little bit like church we used to know.
Yes.
And we'll know to some degree again.
So, yeah.
And that's part of why I'm at church too, is like, you know, I'm on the teaching team. So I care about the content that goes out every Sunday because I'm up on, you know, if I'm up in 3 weeks, I want to build into what we're already teaching on and set the person up behind me really well.
Right. It should feel like a seamless arc between all of you with yet different voices doing it.
Yep. That's
right. Which requires all of you really being all hands on deck to hear it and speak into it. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. The rest of them are on staff. I'm not on staff, but I'm just I'm a, what's it called? Where someone lives somewhere they don't really live there. A squatter. I'm a squatter.
A special friend? Oh, yeah. a squatter.
Special friend? Yikes. A squatter. Who's Annie? She's our special friend should not be here this much.
She preached a couple years ago and then just kind of like didn't stop leaving.
Right, She won't quit.
Oh. So. She's really nice and she's really good.
She's super
great.
Nice girl, but what?
Just not sure. Yeah, we just need to have a boundary talk.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I have a great question for you.
I'm ready.
How do you wake up your house in the morning when you wake up?
Oh, I love our morning wake ups.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about your house. What do you do in your house to wake it up?
I don't know. I mean, are we talking like turn on lights and things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, walk me through. Out of your bedroom, and how do you wake your house up?
Hey Siri, play Bee Gees, And
really? Is that what you do?
No. It's
I was
a gentle...
like, that is such a weird... And just to let Siri pick any song from the Bee Gees just feels like a
it.
Real crapshoot.
Volume 10, Siri, do it. No, we don't do that. I would say it's kind of a slow fade into the morning. So the first sound is always the sound of the door open and the dog coming out of her room. And
I'm sorry, the dog coming out of her room?
Well, she's in my office. She has a little bed in my office where if we don't close the office door, she will walk around and visit us all in the night and we all wake up. So she gets my full office with her dog bed in it. And so we
do
let her out.
Do all the humans have closed doors all night? Do y'all close your bedroom doors?
We don't. No. We close the girls' doors when they go to bed because there's just, it's kind
and
of a smaller
share
house.
Room?
They share a room.
Okay. Right? So y'all's doors open, girls' doors closed, dog doors closed.
Right, but we open the girls' door right before we go to bed. So everybody's doors open so we can all hear each other. Yep. And so it's like nice and cool in the house and there's just no reason. We don't do a lot of closed doors. There's got to be a reason for a closed door.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just kind of like let the dog out, lay on over the breakfast table, then slowly the kitchen light turns on. It's like, it really is like a slow, like you're pulling a dimmer switch up. I've never thought of it, but that's how it happens. And by the end of breakfast, by mid-breakfast, it's full conversation, full planning for the day. People are getting dressed. Coffee's being made. The whole thing. So it kind of wakes up. What about you?
I think how people wake up and shut down their house is so interesting to me. Like what you do to make your home ready for you to go to bed and what you do to make your home ready for your day, I think is so interesting. Even if you're, so what I do, I get up and I walk into my living room and I have a porch and I have two big windows and I open the shades on the windows. I open the curtains on the porch and then I loop into the kitchen and I start my hot water for tea. And then I get all my tea stuff ready and then I wash dishes I handle all the dishes in that. Tea takes about 8 minutes from start to finish.
Yes.
So I have about 8 minutes to deal with dishes. And I turn lights on as
kettle?
I...
Do you have one of those electric tea kettles?
I have an electric kettle. Yeah, that's right.
Does it do the temperature?
No, I'm not that rich. I have one. It's just a one temperature one. But the real tea people, it's not a rich thing, actually. I shouldn't make that joke. It is a... I can make that joke. They're $18 at Target. But I don't drink that many different kinds of tea. That's why you need the temperature one, is if you drink green tea or black tea or blah, blah, blah. Like if you have a... If you really care about getting your tea right on, I don't
right.
do that. I just have an electric kettle that heats up water to boiling.
Just hot water, do the thing. Okay, so you get the tea kettle, 7 minutes.
Yeah. You get it, and then my house is awake. Like my windows are open. Even though I don't even go in the living room again after, because now I get my tea and I come into my podcast studio / office / guest room.
Yeah.
And then after this, I go into my library kind of room and I'll read for a little bit and then I'll get ready. So I don't even go back in the living room for another, I don't know, 90 minutes after this. But I woke up my house.
Yeah, we do. We do all windows and everything open. So it's all fully, all as much.
All the time? Or is that a thing you do in the morning? Is that like, okay, everybody's walking around and everybody has their windows they open?
I don't know who does it, actually. I know that I do the one next to where our breakfast table is, but everybody just sort of naturally opens up all
the windows. I need
you
to watch tomorrow.
Yeah,
everyone doesn't naturally do that. That's not natural. Y'all wake up your house.
And then we'll close them all.
Yeah,
also, because
that's
our house is kind of a fishbowl, too. So when Brie and I are hanging out watching Netflix at night, people can just see us if they walk by, which is always like, no, that's weird.
Yeah, when do you start closing everything when it goes dark versus when you go to bed?
Yes, when it goes dark.
Got it.
Yeah,
same. I close the shades and I usually leave the patio curtains back only because I still have Christmas lights out and I plug them in almost every night.
Oh, see, that's nice.
Survivingquarantine.com.
Yeah.
But I do close the shades.
Yeah. I've never thought about how people wake up and put their house to bed.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting. I didn't even understand the question when you asked it, but it's a very good one.
Yeah. Because your house goes through a transformation twice a day.
Yeah. No, it does. And I'm crazy about light. Have we talked about this?
No. Go. Tell me everything. Oh, I love learning about my friends.
Oh, man. The moment light has to be fully paintable at all times. Like, I cannot have a light switch that's just on or off. No, it's got to be able to be dimmed. I have to have the bulbs have to be the right shades of like yellow or white, and they all have to match within the room. So like I need to be able to, whatever room I'm in, adjust the lights according to what I need them to do and have them match.
Wow.
So like the first thing we do when I move into a house is it's everything gets matching light bulbs that are appropriate for the area. So some light bulbs are brighter, some are dimmer. But sure. and then everything gets a dimmer. So I replace all of the switches with dimmers.
Oh, you know how to do that?
I do. Yeah. I had to learn because we've lived in a couple houses and yeah. I can't handle it.
Yeah. So you can't just have on off. It has to be able to. Yeah, because on off means you either get 0 or 100, and sometimes you feel like a 73.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
No, that's exactly right. So that's I can't. Yeah. So that's
So you're an overhead lights guy. I am too. Girl.
Generally, yes. But I do have like a desk lamp that I like right now. My desk is my office. I keep it dark and it brightens with the day, which I like. It feels in my office right now the same as it would feel if I was standing outside.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense? Light wise.
Yes. Yeah. One of my favorite things about my dad is he cannot stand overhead lights, but he loves lamps.
Funny.
Oh my gosh, Eddie, I'm telling you, there will be times where our whole family will be sitting in the living room watching a show, doing something, and the overhead lights are on. And he'll come in and be like, "Don't y'all wish the lights were different?" And he'll turn off the overhead lights and turn on all the lamps. And we're like, "Actually, no, we had it exactly the way we wanted it."
Oh, he's not even going to stay in the room. He just
couldn't. He wants the overhead lights off and the lamps on.
I love that guy.
It is hysterical.
It's just a quirky, like, certainly we must. No, yes. We can't.
And when I bought
this
condo, neither of the, so it's 3-bedroom, but the library room, as I call it, is like tiny. It won't even fit. It won't fit a real bed. It's more of a nursery.
Yeah.
But neither the living room, none of the bedrooms, mine included, had overhead lights.
Oh.
Isn't that bizarre? None of them did. It was all like the switches connected to lamps. And so I went on the road one weekend and I called an electrician and I was like, "I'm going to need you to put can lights everywhere."
Yeah.
So just do as many as you can find.
Just what a normal house would have.
Yes.
No, those recessed can, do you have is it an older house?
Yeah, these are built in the like 50s.
Oh yeah. So the recess lights are a product of like 70s and beyond. And then they got really good in the last 20 years. But
and yes, now I just love, and now it's great. Every room has them. You can, it's great. It's great. And man, the life of electrician coming when you're on the road is just like, I snapped. It was like a Mary Poppins moment where I understand he worked for 4 days, but I don't know that because I'm in,
Oh yeah. And you come home and everything's
Chicago.
Just perfect.
And he's cleaned, he cleaned up after himself and look, the switches all work.
Yeah, we hire almost nobody ever to do anything, but one time
you can do everything? Or Brianne, I assume.
Yeah, we do. I like being really handy. I just enjoy it a lot. It makes me pumped up to have those kinds of projects. There are a few that test my ability, and normally that comes with plumbing. I don't understand. Plumbing isn't very intuitive to me, and so I try to, but anything with wood, electricity. Anyhow, one time, because of just timing of life, we needed somebody to paint for us. And they painted a room.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was the same thing. We left, we came back, and the room was magical. And we both look at each other, and we're like, oh, I see. Money can
buy flawless. Happiness. Magical and flawless.
And yeah, right. And money can buy happiness. Like, clearly, it definitely can, because I feel great.
In some ways, I believe they can.
Like, I am so happy. I wasn't edging for hours and it, it doesn't even smell. Like, I don't know how they did it. It's just magical. I have a mystery happening with my house that is...
What?
I'm going to preface you by saying...
You bring us the best mysteries twice every 30 days.
This one is endlessly interesting to me and will make for very boring podcasting, but I still have to bring it up. Is that okay with you?
Well, we've done 14 minutes on how our houses have their lighting and everyone's still here, or they're not. I'm having a great time. This is what it's like to be friends with us. So I'm having a great time.
Oh, yeah. This isn't for the listener. This is...
No, no, no. We're just doing this. We just chose to record it. Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me paint the picture of the outside of our neighborhood.
Is anyone going to be able to solve this? Is this like where our friend Russell Young, who solved your baseball mystery, is going to get to solve something for you?
No, unless the person who has anything to do with it listens to the show, which could be the case.
Oh, my gosh.
That's
okay,
the thing.
Okay, keep going.
So we live in a very wooded neighborhood, and I love it. There are trees everywhere. There's
like really tall pine trees?
Really tall pine trees, and
yeah,
it's a forest.
South Georgia stuff. Even though you're in Florida, it's South Georgia look.
It's exactly that, and it doesn't exist a lot in Florida, and it makes us very happy. It also, practically, when it is so blasted hot here, it cuts down, and the house is never really super hot. Anyhow, so we live in, it's forest, and it's lovely. To that end, there are leaves everywhere. You can't get ahead of it. You just hope to blow off the driveway, but you can't get ahead of it. So the road, if you drive down the road, looks like one of those like fall landscapes from a New York, like in a New York movie where the leaves are like, you know, rustling up behind the car, leaves everywhere. And you have to constantly, leaf management is a thing in this neighborhood. It's constantly blown off the driveway.
Is it a thing when y'all were in Orlando too? Or is this like a Gainesville specific? Okay.
They do exist in Orlando, but you got to get a little more north. Gainesville, there's sort of a line that happens in Gainesville where Gainesville looks a lot more like Georgia than it does Orlando. Orlando is like palm trees and stuff.
In Georgia, we call that line the Nat line. We've discussed it before.
Oh, yeah. We've discussed it before. Did you hear me just like take a huge breath in and then make myself cough? I'm like, gotta lay off the menthols here in the morning. So anyway.
Part of your wake up.
So I'm outside getting the mail yesterday, and I notice, there's no leaves on the street in front of our house. And then I look around thinking maybe there was some sort of like a big storm or something, or just huge wind. And no, there's leaves in front of every house in our whole neighborhood, except for where our property line starts and where our property line stops. The road is completely, perfectly clean. Not a leaf. I mean, it is neat as a pin out there. Now, here's my question. One, two, why did they choose to do that? It's so sweet. I love it. The girls ride their bikes out there.
Is it your yard, too? Or is it just the street?
Just the street. It's just the street. And the third thing is, I was here.
Right. So you'd have heard it.
We're all here all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, we're
there's no surprising things in people's homes anymore because they're always there.
We're all here.
Also, I bet crime's really low too, but.
I bet. So I'm just going to say, how is this possible?
How is this possible?
People.
Else's is there. So no. Everybody. So you're sure everyone else's yard looks just as it did?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It is just your yard.
There is a line of demarcation that happens on our property line where leaves start and stop.
Did it have anything? Wasn't it yesterday that you had the pest control there?
Annie, that's it. It was Monday. The pest control guy has a blower, and he is like blowing this like mosquito stuff around the back part of our property.
Uh-huh.
And he walks around with the blower, and he blows off the front driveway, and I bet he did the street.
Just to be nice.
Annie, I am going to email that company today and thank them for doing that.
Oh my gosh, will you tell us what they say back?
Yes.
That is not why we send thank you emails, is to get a response. But no. I would be very interested to hear what they say back, because I love when we get to celebrate employees like that.
24 hours I've been trying to think about this, and you did it in 4 minutes after having...
Did we hear a blower on this podcast? Like, did Eddie and I talk about this? And I was like, no, that was so-and-so that I interviewed that had a blower going on outside their house. And I was like, no, there was someone outside Eddie's house. This is what was going on in my mind. And I was like, but I think it was pest control, so that doesn't make any sense. And then you said it does.
Yeah, well, you really solved the mystery. So I guess we can move on to our next podcast topic.
Well, I can tell you the mystery I've got going on at my house, which I call Harvest House. I don't know if you've ever talked about that, but that's the name of my house.
Huh.
I was sitting on my couch yesterday. My friends who watch Insta Story know the first part of the story. Okay. I was sitting on my couch yesterday, like just being a person after work, just waiting on a FaceTime happy hour. and a little something was on my blanket. I picked it up. It was a tick, which is horrifying. And do you know what I did, Eddie? I threw it. I panicked because I thought it was attaching to my finger.
So now it's loose in your house somewhere.
Yep. It just lives with me now. I just have a roommate now.
Oh, no.
A blood-sucking roommate. What am I supposed to do? I mean, here's what I did is I got up immediately because I was sitting on the couch and I knew I'd thrown it toward the ground. So, and I have a rug. Yeah. And so I got up immediately and I just stomped like crazy all over the rug. I looked for it and I didn't see it. So I stomped like crazy, rubbed my feet all over in my slippers, of course.
Yeah.
Rubbed my feet all over the rug in hopes that I would smush him. And then one kind friend said on Instagram, if it doesn't get on you in 2 days, it'll die in your house.
Oh, well, that's
and
nice
so
to
I
know.
Just have today and tomorrow to live in fear and to do constant hair checks,
tick checks, just checking arm pits and stuff.
Tick check,
just,
yeah. Like, oh. When I used to teach school, we had to in my first school I taught in, we did lice check every Monday morning.
I remember that Miss Polmansky coming in and doing the lice checks.
Yeah, we did it every week, and so because of that, I just got a little bit accustomed to. Bugs that, like, I just am not quite afraid of them. I just thought he was attaching to my finger so quickly that's what freaked me out. Is I thought I don't want him to bite into me, and that's what made me throw him, was that I didn't want him to bite me.
Right, because most of the time ticks aren't a big deal, but then Lyme disease is a real thing. People who
Lyme disease,
have got,
man, I have a friend with Lyme disease. My friend Lindsay Wheeler, who runs Bottle of Tears, and it is it is a plague on your life. Yes,
it's a really hard thing to deal with.
Yeah. So what would you do?
What would I do?
You
go. I'm sorry.
With a tick living in your house. That's all. Oh. You know what I was going to ask. I don't know why I insisted on having the entire question exposed.
Well, because you should be allowed to. I shouldn't interrupt just because I think I know what you're going to say. We're not playing trivia here in our conversation. I can let you finish. What should you do? I mean, obviously, you got to sell the house, right? You got to get out of there. You can't live there anymore. There are certain things, though, that if I... Yeah, I told you about the snake in the wall. Have we talked about the snake in the wall story?
No. You had a snake in the wall?
Well, so one day Sweet Lucy walks in and she runs in from the garage, panicked. Dad, I saw a snake. Dad, I saw a snake and I saw its head and I saw it in the wall and then it went back into the wall. And so immediately...
Is this
really,
in this current house or is this
in this current
Orlando.
House?
Okay.
The current house. And then so immediately I think, you do think like, I can't live like this. I can't sleep here. If there's snakes in that's just the sum of all fears. Which so I get it. The tick thing, you're like, you're gonna give it 24 hours, but you're gonna be checking constantly.
I've already felt my shoulders while we've been sitting here. Oh, just to make sure.
So I begin then the process of pulling off the wall. I'm pulling off pieces of
really?
Drywall.
The whole wall.
It's in the garage and I don't go nuts, but I'm pulling off and not seeing anything and Lucy's helping me, and I'm pulling off stuff. And then
wait,
I'm
sorry, you're just ripping off like
there was like paneling. There was no. There was like paneling on that part of the wall. It was it was in the garage where she saw it. So there was like that. You know, those boards that you can stick tools on that have all the little holes in them that you can put the hangers on and the tools.
Sure. Yes,
it was
yes.
that board. So I'm pulling that board off. So it was a pretty convenient place to see a snake. So I'm pulling that board off, not seeing anything. Getting in deep, I got snake traps apparently that are a thing. It's a whole thing for about a week, and I'm out there. And Lucy is really a part of this with me, really taking an interest in watching all of this, but not like the interest that's like, Dad, you got to get it. We got to get the snake out of here. A lot of like, so what are you going to do next? And so she's asking, and one day. We're in the middle of this, and she's like, you know, Dad, it's funny because I think I saw a snake out here.
Oh.
But I may have imagined how scary it would be if I saw a snake.
Oh, Lucy.
And I said, you know, darling, did you actually see a snake? She's like, and at this point, it's just her big, saddest, but so pretty. And it's just like hard to, it's the cutest thing you've ever seen. But at the same time, you know, like, in her mind, she's reconciling the worst thing she's done, she's like, I wasn't lying, but I scared myself. And I get that feeling. Like, how many times have you been outside in the dark and you think you hear something and then you like scurry inside and you're like, I've lost my mind. I'm totally
You're
fine.
Like, there's a real chance there's a person out there, but also there's a chance I just scared myself.
Right. She just legitimately scared herself. And yeah. she was scared and reeled, and then spent a week tearing apart the garage with me and setting snake traps. And then I was like, well, okay. So that was the day we learned how to put the wall back together, and she screwed the wall back
in. They haven't come to talk to us in 2 days. Did I offend them?
Hugely. They are furious with you. Yeah. No, you
just
kind of
get angry.
You just kind of feel when they seem to feel it at the same time. And I just know. Okay. And today I just knew they weren't coming in, but they will come in soon.
Okay. I just thought, well, we haven't heard from them since Monday, and today's Wednesday, according to you. And so I didn't know. I didn't know if there was something I didn't know.
I have a lot of things on a list. Can we keep burning through some of the? I feel like this is the Wednesday random show of just getting some things.
Sure. I think we've probably got time for two things on your list. We need to be cautious of time. But yeah.
These are easy ones.
Because we got heroes too.
Okay. Easter candy. I feel like people sleep on Easter candy, and I want to say that I think it's the best candy holiday, period.
I 100% agree with you. What is your candy of choice? What's the fave?
Well, this has been a big year. So for years and years, it has been, I really like the classic Brock's jelly bean.
Surprising.
Birds, like the bird's eggs or robin's eggs.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, you don't mean the robin's eggs. You mean jelly beans.
I do mean jelly beans, but like classic jelly beans. Yeah. I even like the black one that people don't like. I love it.
Sure.
Put it all in there. Throw them all in my hand. Let's eat them. But then this year, I realized those mini Cadbury eggs that are basically like M&Ms in the shape of an egg.
Yes.
How good is that?
I mean, a Cadbury cream egg is my very favorite. And I never found one this year.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't look super hard. How many times are we going to the grocery store in our lives right now, right? But the two times I went to the grocery store, they didn't have them. I know.
Annie.
Man, but I do love those Cadbury mini eggs that are just chocolate. They are, I mean, a big M&M is a great way to describe it.
Because people, I just don't think Easter gets, I mean, obviously it's a very important holiday for other reasons, but I just don't think people understand it. There is unique candy for this holiday that does
I'm
not exist.
I'm surprised that you find this to be a holiday that people don't notice the candy when literally they give baskets full of candy to their children.
I know, but everybody is like, oh, Halloween. Oh, everybody's talking about Halloween and can't wait to like steal their kids' Halloween candy. That's candy that you can get basically year-round.
Year-round, yeah, that's
except
right.
Except for maybe, what are the ones that look like little candy corn?
Sure, yeah, candy corn's the only one. You're right, you can't do candy corn. But yes, other than that, it is just your average candy.
Because I miss Easter candy already. We have the leftover bags, and I know it's going to go away, and then you're not going to be able to get them.
Yeah, I'm in full agreement of you. I just don't think people underappreciate it as you feel like they do because they buy lots of it.
Yeah. See, that's what we don't. We buy a single bag, love it, and then it just disappears until the next quarantine.
Yeah. Well, that's hard to hear. Okay. That's a tough thing to bring up. Yeah. What did I buy? Oh, I bought a Reese's egg. I did eat a Reese's egg.
Ooh.
I think those are delicious. Okay, of all the Reese shapes during the year, what's your go-to shape?
Oh, 100% the little ones, but in a freezer.
Halloween, the Halloween ones, really?
Yeah, but put them in a freezer.
What?
The
I've
peanut
never
butter
done that in my life.
Doesn't freeze crunchy. So you take a bite on this, and it is just this cold, lovely chocolate
Lord.
Into the soft peanut butter.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, there are very few things that I could. People are like, oh, I could eat a pint of Ben & Jerry's. I couldn't. I'm not opposed to it, but I don't know that I could like enjoy it all the way to the end.
Yeah.
A full bag of frozen Reese's, there's an infinity on the number I could eat. They are the best. So put a Reese's, any Reese's in the freezer. Eat it.
I've never put a single Reese's in the freezer.
Game changer. Now the Reese's pieces, also very good.
Yeah, I do. Reese's pieces are my like number two movie candy. So they're like always on the docket. They're always an option. At the movie theater.
Yes.
But snow caps are my number one, obviously.
Oh, great one.
Yeah, great. They're so good. They're like chocolate chips with little white beads on the bottom. You can't ask for more than that. That's a dream scenario.
This has been
Eddie, you may have to save the rest of your list for tomorrow, but I won't come in hot with such an important question like how do you wake your house up?
No, I hope you do, because this was just Random Wednesday. We need a better name for it, but I like the...
I'm not sure it was that random. I feel like this is what an actual conversation between two friends looks like. I'm not sure it's as random as you feel like it is.
Maybe it's just, hey, everybody's dancing outside the window. This has been a while. They're really They're really going for it. Everybody's on their bikes and getting ready, and they are... Oh, they're clapping and dancing.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's perfect.
Here's what I love about Brianne. Brianne will dance to the point where the kids stop dancing because they remember they're in public. And then that just
but
gives
she
Brianne,
keeps going.
She quadruples down.
You've got to ask them 1 week if you can post a picture of it for one day whenever they decide that's appropriate.
Yes.
Hey, do you have hero for today?
I don't. I apparently had other stuff about Easter candy, but I don't. I've been thinking about the IJM. I know we get to talk about the IJM heroes, and I was doing a lot of, I was reading through the Stories of Hope yesterday, and it made me very happy.
Oh, were you?
Yes.
I love it. That's kind of fun.
The website that we've given out, I was like reading through and going like, okay, this
feels IJM.org/hopewithus is the website.
Because yesterday I felt a little sad about the whole quarantine thing. We can do 7 minutes tomorrow, but it hit me in a different way yesterday. And I was like, I need to
We can do that now. Do you need to do that now? I would love to hear that.
Oh, I think the briefest of it was just, I'm reading more stories that this is more of like, until there's a vaccine, this is going to be some measure of the new normal. Yeah. And there's been something that's hit me this last week about the normalcy of all this, like how normally we just woke up on Monday and kids started homeschool and here we are, that I was like a bit just like, oh, they may not go to school in the fall. And I don't mean to be doom and gloom, but it's not 100%. I think I just thought it would end in May. And then I'm like, well, it's going to end by June. And it just feels like, and maybe it won't. And I would love to be surprised, but I'm also... I just felt a touch sad for the loss of going to the pool with all of our friends this summer a bunch of times, or heading over to the beach, or doing all of our summer things. And just, it's the endless, it's just the settling into what feels like a very normal Wednesday. And this isn't normal, but it's going to be for a while. And I'm both super thrilled about that and from a place of privilege, but also just felt, I don't know. I was kind of bummed about it.
And I think this is where our personalities are different, but I just would wonder, I don't have the emotional bandwidth to get sad about something that I'm not sure is going to happen.
I know, except that I just was been reading a bunch of news stories from credible sources that are more and more saying that the possibility of how this, it's not people being doom and gloom. It's not fringe media on either fringe. It's really like this actually doesn't fully resolve until there's some measure of vaccine. Like the country isn't opening up in 2 weeks. There isn't some grand reopening where we all just start again.
Where we all go back, as it was. But there is a world where we get to leave our houses.
Yes. Where it opens. It's just going to look really different. Whatever it is, it's just going to look different. And so it's just, you're right, I do get a little doom and gloom about it, but I also get a little bit, like part of the fuel that keeps me going is, I'm excited about next week. I can't wait for this thing. So for me, that works in the opposite a lot. Like I get very excited about things that are coming up. And when those things seem like they may not be coming up, it's hard for me to do today.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like I'm really a goal person. Like I want to do this, and then I can run for months towards that. But when I'm having a hard time finding my goal, and because this is starting to feel normal. So that's how I was feeling yesterday. So that's why I was actually looking at the Stories of Hope thing going like, all right, let's see if this works. And I did. It felt very hopeful.
I'm actually writing about this on Instagram. As soon as we hang up, I'm posting about this. But the phrase I've had in my head is, it's okay that we've gotten settled in this. We can't get satisfied in this.
Yeah, that's the right way to say it.
It's okay that we are settled in this. Like this is at least 2 more weeks of our lives. It's been 4 weeks of our lives. It's okay if you feel settled, if you feel like you have a rhythm. In fact, I hope everyone has a rhythm. I hope we're part of their rhythm, right?
Yeah.
But you should have a rhythm by this point of this is the life that you should lead. This is the life that you are leading. And so there should be a rhythm. I'm going to stick with should. There should be a rhythm here.
Yeah.
But I don't want any of us to go like, man, this is actually better. This is a great, I'm so satisfied with this life that I won't do what it takes to get out of this.
Yes.
And and I'm not willing to stay there. I'm not willing to be satisfied here, but I'm willing to get settled in this.
Mm-hmm. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, that's
a
good
but
way to say
it. Also, I can't do, I think there's something really good about your brain and your ability to go like, if we're still in this in August, I should feel something about that. I don't have the ability to look past. I don't know if I have the ability. I'm not choosing to look past the end of April right now.
My challenge is always to do more of that, to not look past April right now. And yeah. I push hard. And some days, like today, it seems to be working very, very well. Even though we're talking about it, I'm like, totally good with today. Not really that worried.
Yeah.
It'll happen. Yesterday was one of the days where the psyche just walked away on its own a little bit. And
I mean, it is that reality, Eddie, of what scripture says. I'm not trying to Jesus juke you, but I'm Jesus juking myself on God really meant it when he said, don't worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
And this is the first time our calendars match what scripture has invited us to do for the most peace we could have.
Yeah.
Which is take care of today. I mean, even in like relationships with other people, even with relationships with men, even with work things, I literally have to go just do today.
Yeah.
What is right for today. You can make any decision you need to for today. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. And, you know, I mean, I have had to just slow down my thinking that much to feel like I'm not losing my mind here.
Totally. And that's been the game. And I've been, to be honest, I've been kind of proud of myself. I feel like I've been way less like anxious freak out than I normally am. And this whole thing, I haven't had a migraine about it. This whole thing has been remarkably since the beginning. Like, well, I'm okay. We're okay. It's working out. Yeah. I think that. It's the adrenaline has kind of worn off of the first couple of weeks.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And now it's life, and now it's actual management of psychology and actual management of how do I actually trust God and et cetera, et cetera. Those things are when the adrenaline wears off, you have to start addressing those questions again. And I feel like that's where a little bit I was. So,
yeah, I feel that.
But we solved the leaf mystery, so
now one step closer to a peaceful Wednesday.
Everything is okay.
So actually, I guess if you had a hero today, it would be your leaf blower guy, your pest control leaf blower guy.
100% that guy.
Yeah,
the leaf
that
blower
guy.
Love him. So grateful.
Yeah, same. Okay, let's talk about our IJM partners and their hero today, because this is a great story. You probably read this one yesterday if you read through them. But today we're going to hear a little more about what one IJM office has accomplished over the last 14 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is incredible. IJM, as you guys listening know, it is a global organization working to end slavery and violence around the world and focuses especially on the most vulnerable people experiencing poverty. And they work hard to make sure local governments are taking responsibility for finding and prosecuting criminals. And then they build up a justice system and to help protect the vulnerable. So IJM has been working in Bolivia for nearly 15 years to protect children from sexual violence. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, they celebrated their 150th sentencing and conviction, which is just crazy.
Yeah, when you start to ripple that out to what that means, the lives of 150, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what they've experienced and what they've been able to do. It's 150 is nuts.
Yeah, one of the kids they represented in court is a girl named Rosemary.
Yep.
And she's 13-year-old middle schooler when her stepfather began abusing her in secret. And her family couldn't afford a lawyer. And a public prosecutor called IJM, who took the case and provided social workers to accompany her and her mother through the process. And it took 3 years. The case dragged on. And finally, the abuser was found guilty and sentenced to 15 years. In prison. And so today, Rosemary has completed her high school education and wants to be a lawyer. And on the day of her graduation, the IJM staff she had grown close with came together and threw her a party. That's one of my favorite parts. The IJM staff like don't leave these people's lives.
No. Till the very, very, like through the whole thing forever.
I mean, yes.
It's incredible. And there's just deep relationships. And we just care that she's, you know, when a sentencing happens, that's not the end of her story. They're still She has to come back to life and figure out how to work and everything. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. So the IJM Bolivia team celebrated their 150th conviction. conviction. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. 150th conviction in like Bolivian fashion. And they got it all on video. And so you can go watch it. Take a minute today, you guys, and go watch this like joy video. It's just contagious of the IJM Bolivia office as they celebrate their 150th conviction. And it's at IJM.org/hopewithus. And you can read through while you're there. You can read through other stories of hope and celebration, but make sure you check out this one and just watch this video. It's great. IJM.org/hopewithus.
Love it. Love it. I could keep talking, but we're out of time, but it was an awesome. I love that video.
Yeah, me too. All right, buddy. Well, you saw some things on your list for tomorrow?
Yeah, they're not that good. One of them I don't even understand, which is...
Okay, good. Don't tell me now. Don't say it. You were about to say it. Don't do it. We can't.
Bathing. Why did I write that?
Stop it. Why did you do that?
What could I possibly have to say about that?
I don't know, but now we're all going to wonder instead of you just leading us with it tomorrow. Oh, that was mean.
I've seen the last season of Friends and how it works. You know, will they? Are they together? Aren't they? Ross and Rachel, this is how it works. This is a cliffhanger is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. This is a cliffhanger till tomorrow. All right, friends, go wash your hands. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, buddy.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.